Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
Hi, my name is Dana. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering about OLN. Should I buy more, hold, or sell?
And provides unbiased answers.
They're going to make $1.01 this year. They lost $6 a share last year. I wonder why that happened. They've never lost that much before.
Invest Talk. Over 29 million downloads and counting.
Wondering the difference between a few of these Volkswagen stocks, VWAGY, and there's a few others.
Call anytime, 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Then this is Invest Talk. It is Friday, February 5th, 2021. And on today's program and podcast, we will operate with a mission statement, as we always do, and that is to provide independent thinking, and I want to share any success we can make, we can have together. Love to have that. And again, we give you straightforward answers here on Invest Talk. We don't buy our answers. We don't owe anybody anything. A lot of money managers, such as us, registered investment advisors, all they are is money gatherers. They really don't necessarily invest the money. They hire third parties. You don't even know it. They hire third parties to manage the money, but you think it's them. It's not. That's the vast majority of registered investment advisors. That's what they do. They're just money gatherers. We actually do our own research. We do buy data. I buy data, but we do our own research on that data. We don't put up together our own search engines on all that data to provide you the best information that we think is the most accurate. That's what we try to do here. That's what I try to do on the Invest Talk radio show here and podcast. I'm Steve Peasley, and of course, I encourage you to contact us with your financial investment questions. You can get in, trust me, and you can shape the show. You can take it where you want it to go. So please call. You can call right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave the question anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we're live now if you want to get through. Let's go ahead and get started right away. As you notice, we've been trying to speed up and get to the questions faster.
Hi, my name is Dana. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering about OLN. Should I buy more, hold, or sell? And also, I'm looking to get into 5G, and I was wondering about Insego, INSG. Thanks.
Okay, just so you know, everybody, we only take one question at a time, one stock at a time, because it's very hard to pull them up and it takes me a second or two, and I got to read real quick. So OLN Corporation, headquarters in Missouri, manufactures chloralkali and small caliber ammunition products. Okay, it is a $4.3 billion company. They're going to make $1.01 this year. They lost $6 a share last year. I wonder why that happened. They've never lost that much before. They're going to make $1.01 a share this year and $1.52 a share next year. It's a $27 stock. So that puts the stock at around, let's see, 15, 20, 18 PE or so. Sales grew to 19% this most recent quarter. Before that, sales were shrinking. I don't know. I think it's too weak. The sales over the years, some years they make money, some years they don't. I don't like that. So I would prefer to stay away from it. Okay? OLN. I know you want strategies to help you deal with the market volatility. We've had a lot of volatility again this week. It seems like it's every week we're having a lot of volatility. And, you want strategies to deal with all this uncertainty. Everybody does. And, the problem is the strategies are one thing, but then you got to implement them and manage them. So you can't just have a strategy and then let it go. But if you want to have any questions, if you have questions about any of this, give me a call, 888-99-CHART. Now, for today's trivia question, I will look at the statistics analysis of market correction behavior across 40 years. That's going to be my trivia question today. So how'd the market do? Well, today, the Dow was up 92, the NASDAQ up 79, and S&P up 15. So we had a pretty good week this week. Most of the volatility was to the upside. We all like that. We do. Okay, you're listening to InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and we, of course, made it through another week, being Friday. And as of Friday, you know, I also talk about the premium newsletter, KPP premium newsletter. So I'll be talking about that a little bit today. And our goal, your goal, my goal is always the same, financial freedom. And you need information for that. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Steve Peasley is here now, and he's ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. I got a lot of things to talk about today. I don't know if we'll get to them. We had the job numbers out today. That's important. And the baby boomers' financial stress. I'm a baby boomer. I don't, you know, so I know my group has lots of stress. We'll talk about that. Tom, I want to mention the Pfizer vaccine that has coming out. The one that is the one-shot vaccine. I kind of like that. That's why they're going to be popular. Anyways, hopefully we'll get to that. And as it is Friday, we always talk about some economic numbers that we have. And I always mention the 10-year and the 2-year treasury. The 2-year treasury yield is 0.10, the 1/10 of 1%. Pretty small. The 10-year is 1.15. So the spread between the two continues to expand because it was 1.09 a week ago. Now it's 1.15. So the spread between the 2-year and 10-year is expanding, and that is good for the economy. Very good for the economy. Gold, 1808 per ounce. Last week was 1857. So gold is slowly getting weaker. And you know what? I think that looks like a buying opportunity to me. Silver today was at $26.87 an ounce. Last week was $27.07. So it went down just a tad. Oil is selling for $56.98 a barrel. Last week it was $52.96. Oil going up. And the national average for gasoline, $2.45. That's up a couple 3 pennies from last week. And here in California, $3.43 a gallon. Now, in Wisconsin, if you live in Wisconsin, it is $2.31. You guys are getting it good. Your questions are always important, and they're always a very important part of the show, everybody. So let's go ahead and get back to the InvestTalk voice bank, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. It's Brandon from Northern California again. I'm calling in about ticker symbol TPIC. TPI Composites. From what I can tell, they manufacture wind blades for wind energy. I've owned it for a little bit, and it's done pretty well. I just wanted to get your take on it. Do you think it keep going up, or do you think it's overbought? I'd like to get more into it, especially with the direction we're heading with the green energy and all that stuff. So I'm looking for a longer-term hold. Let me know what you guys think. Appreciate the show. Thanks.
Okay, they're going to make money next year. They're not going to make money this year. Well, actually, they will make money in 2021, this year. But they didn't make money last year, but we don't have the final numbers in. But it looks like they're going to come in losing 50 cents. And the year before, they lost 46 cents a share. This year, they're supposed to make $1.56 a share. Now, this is TPIC, TPI Composites, manufactures composite wind blades for the wind energy market, supporting global wind turbine manufacturers. So they make the blades, the composites, you know, the very lightweight blades. The stock is selling at $70 a share, though, and it's only going to make $1.56. Sales growth is pretty decent. This most recent quarter, which was the most recent reported, was the third quarter, September quarter. Growth was 24%. But before that, growth ranged from 14, 15% to 50% every quarter. So it's got that going for it, and that's why it's so expensive. And, of course, you're not the only one looking at, well, you know, the future and politics and the favoring, you know, wind energy and all clean energy kind of projects. So, yeah, I can see why you would be interested in it, but it has made a long run up, and everybody else has bought it too. So I personally wait for a pullback before I'd buy it. But I do like the company because the sales growth, if they can keep that sales growth going, will eventually turn into some pretty big profits. It's only a $2.5 billion company, so it's not huge. So it's got room to grow, okay? But it's a growth stock. Growth stock. 888-99-CHART. Okay, ADP reports every month jobs. And they reported already three days ago that 174,000 new private sector jobs were created in January. Today, this morning, the official jobs report came out. And that said there was only 49,000 total, which would be private sector jobs and government jobs. ADP only counts private sector jobs. So there's a little disconnect there. Who is the correct? I don't know. Yeah, that's a pretty big difference in my opinion. I mean, it's like 100,000 jobs off. And remember, the official report counts government jobs and non-government jobs. So I should have maybe delved into those numbers deeper. Did we lose a bunch of jobs to government jobs? And that took away from the overall number? I wouldn't think so. There's no reason why that would happen. ISM, Institute Supply Management Services. We had both manufacturing and services. Both of these numbers were above 50, manufacturing and services. Above 50 means expansion. But the services number improved to 58.7 from 57.2. So, you know, there's definitely a recovery going on in our economy. And that's not counting, you know, we haven't seen the full effects of the money that's already been sent to people. Remember all that money that we sent under Trump? And now, of course, under Biden, they're going to spend more money. So how much of that the new Biden money is actually going to get into people's pockets or just fixing the financial situations of states that are in big trouble, I don't know. We don't know because it hasn't been – we don't know the numbers yet. We don't know what they're doing exactly. I'm hoping they're going to spend money on infrastructure. I'm hoping that's where a lot of that money goes. That's where I am. So we'd love to get those live calls. So let's talk to Emilios from San Francisco.
How are you, sir? Nice to hear from you.
How's it going?
I'm interested in MOS to see your opinion on that. Mosaic.
That Mosaic? Yes. MOS, everybody, Mosaic Company, manufactures phosphate fertilizers, feed phosphates, and potash fertilizers sold worldwide. Of course, this is a play on a boom. This company makes those things that grow things. So fertilizers that grow stuff. So it's kind of a commodity play, really. They're going to make 45 cents in 2020, we haven't got the final numbers in, but that's 45 cents a share. Next year, this year, they're going to make $1.67 a share, and it's a $27 stock. So I would say the factors are favorable for it based on world economic growth as estimated by the IMF, International Monetary Fund, which is supposed to be in the 4%, 5% area. So of course, Emilio, that this stock has already run up a bit on you, right? You know that, right?
Saw that.
Okay, so the question is it overpriced? I don't think so, based on next year's earnings per share and the growth of sales that should spike this year and next year. So I think it's at a pretty fair price even after moving up from like, what, $8, $9 at the bottom of last March to $27. So I still think you have a ways to go, actually. I'd wait for a pullback, though, because it's already had a good run. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's Friday, and you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and for investors, the need to remain vigilant never ceases. Okay? The calendar says 2021, and we know there will be many changes coming. We know that. So in answer, you'll have financial and investment questions. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Justin. This is Vin from Orlando. I heard this question get asked a couple episodes ago, and you guys said you were going to look into it a little bit more. Wondering the difference between a few of these Volkswagen stocks, VWAGY, and there's a few others. It seems like VWAGY is the main one with a market capital of $100 billion. If we were going to invest in one of these, which I plan to, considering their move towards electrical vehicles in the 30s, which ticker do we invest in? Thanks.
Okay, so, you know, stock companies can have different symbols. Actually, this is a very good question. Can have different symbols based on different factors. The most common is that they'll have different symbols for different quality of voting stocks. Not all stocks issued have to be voting stocks. In other words, you vote part of the, you know, you're the owner and you get the vote on any issues that come before the board of directors. But some stocks will not have voting rights, but they have to be under a different symbol, even though it's the same company. So different shares of stocks, different classifications of stocks for the same company. And that can happen. In Volkswagen's case, I'm not sure. I actually did not look that up. They could be VWAGY is a German manufacturer of passenger automobile commercial vehicles under the Volkswagen and other nameplates. It's a $32 billion company. Okay, there might be a corporate umbrella, which might be a different stock or a different company. I'm not sure. Because I don't tend not to buy auto companies. I never liked them myself. They're going to make $1.51 a share this year. Let me say that again. $1.51 a share in 2020 and $2.89 in 2021, and it's a $21 stock. Auto stocks usually trade at very low PE ranges, except you can't say that for Tesla, right? I mean, that stock is crazy. But they generally do trade at very low PE ranges. That means that even though they're going to make $2.89, it's a $21 stock, so therefore the PE is 9. The five-year range of the PE has been 2 to 63. So it can go much lower. But Volkswagen is going to go 100% electric vehicle for all their products in 15 years or something like that. So that's why there's been a lot of articles about it. Okay. The weekend is almost here, everybody. Let's keep moving. Another question from our voice bank, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Ryan from SoCal here. I've had some pretty nice gains recently on a lot of meme stocks, and I'm trying to turn them into a more sustainable portfolio. So I was looking at some dividend stocks, and I'm just way overweighted into tech and growth and don't have a lot of value. I was looking at the REIT 2 ticker, TWO. It's a REIT that specializes in residential mortgages. So if you guys, I have no idea how to value a REIT and how to even identify a good one from a bad one or a good one from a great one. So if you could take a look at that ticker and also any principles I should use to be evaluating REITs as well would be appreciated. I look forward to hearing an answer on the show. Have a great day. Bye.
It's a REIT. They don't call it a REIT. It's a REIT. 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 A REIT that invests in finances and manages residential mortgage-backed securities and related investments. Now, a REIT, to become a REIT, to qualify for a REIT, you have to pay 90% of the dividend in the form, when your earnings, Jorge, I'm hearing you. When the earnings come in, you have to pay 90% of that out in the form of a dividend to qualify for a REIT. And a REIT also has to be related to the real estate industry in some way, shape, or form. Now, this one is related because it manages residential mortgage-backed securities. So they don't actually have properties. They manage mortgage securities, mortgages. Okay, so that's different. A REIT, this is very different from a property REIT where it actually owns property. This is paper. This company works with mortgages, the paper itself, buying and selling. So there's different ways to evaluate these things. And this particular one is all going to be about interest rates. And if interest rates start to rise, they won't do so well. So I don't care for this one. They're only going to make 71 cents this last year, and they're going to make 90 cents this year. It's a $6 stock. That's low price, but it deserves a low price because their earnings are always kind of erratic. They've been pretty steady for the last few years. But if you're listening to Invest Talk on a regular basis, you've heard us talk about market corrections. Well, they do happen. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. A few years back, a statistical analysis of market behavior produced interesting data. What was the percentage of average calendar yearly price returns? What was the percentage of average calendar year price returns over 40 years from 1978 to 2017? So after a break, I will supply the answer, but for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you and to all you to call and ask your questions. 888-99-CHART.
After the year we've been through, saving money should be at the top of everyone's resolution list. So if you are still paying needlessly insane amounts of money every month for your wireless service, stop. You have a practical alternative, Mint Mobile. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you safely order from home while maximizing your savings. Mint Mobile wireless plans start at only $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Listen, by eliminating the traditional costs of retail, Mint Mobile is able to pass significant savings on to you. I've been using Mint Mobile long before this new deal, and I have to say, now is a great time to make the switch and save. So to get your new premium wireless plan shipped to your door free, and for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk. Don't put it off. Go to mintmobile.com/investtalk.
It's a new year, and building your financial future takes information and commitment. So you'll have finance and investment questions for Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. So I had a trivia question before the break. Historical returns, and the question is all about, what are the historical returns the last 40 years? So historical returns over the last 40 years, and that's from 1978 to 2017, were a pretty respectable 9.9% per year. Okay, that's the average. On this count, we're talking about calendar year. The median is marginally higher at 12.35%. Now, the data showed that both the mean and median returns of any year with a market correction are still positive at 4.9% and 2.7% respectively. So even with a correction, a decent correction, or middle of the year, sometime during the year, still have positive returns. Now, market corrections are frequent. They are frequent. They happen quite often. And so you have to expect them. Just expect them. What you should be doing is buying the correction. Now, the people who analyze this shows that it takes approximately 9 months on average for a long-only equity investor to recover their losses following a correction. So if we had 10% correction or a 20% correction, it takes on average 9 months to get it back. Anything under 20% is still a correction. 20% fall in prices. Anything over 20, we talk about it as a bear market. Okay, so surprisingly, an investor who has a five-year time horizon and invests 2.5 years before and after a correction will see an annualized price return of 10.26%. See, so, yeah, almost any way you look at it, you just buy the market and hold on to it. That's the smart thing to do. Okay? Now, but one of the reasons why Warren Buffett has done so well is he has insurance companies that constantly produce cash. So he always has more money to invest. And he's always waited for big corrections or recessions to put the bulk of his cash to work. And that's really helped him out in the long run, you know, as far as returns. You know, because he goes several years bad returns. I mean, it's not positive every year. But his average is very good. So I've got the KPP Premium Newsletter segment coming up. But first, let me talk about today's focus point. Bank stocks jump as yields rise, but there are longer-term doubts about the group. So I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there has been a very nice run in the bank stocks of late. Okay, and you can buy bank stocks through an ETF called XLF. That's the symbol. Okay, that's the financial select sector for banks. And even this week, it was up 6%, while the S&P 500 was up 3.6% for the week. So it's doing quite well. Now this is the problem. And they've done very well, I mean, since August. I mean, XLF has been is up 27% since August. But the problem is all the bank stocks and the ETFs are now hitting resistance. Okay? They're hitting long-term resistance. You look at a weekly chart, and they have to, you know, they fell a couple weeks ago, they fell for a week, and then they started to make a comeback this week. That's the top that they hit resistance. And so I think we might be seeing, it's much more risky to invest in stock right now. We might be seeing a top. However, if the economy continues to expand, and if interest rates rise very slowly, banks usually do very, very well. In inflation, they do very, very well. Because if inflation is controlled, it's not an out-of-control inflation, which we haven't seen in decades, banks do well. And minor, normal inflation, they do well. So, you know, they can keep up with inflation and keep up with interest rates. They do worse in recessions or spikes in interest rates or inflation. That's when they do worse. So if you think the economy is going to continue to expand, bank stocks are probably going to continue to do well. But they've already had a big run up. Already have. So now it's a little bit more risky to invest in them. Okay. I've got the KPP Premium Newsletter segment coming up. But, you know, we can talk about the banks. Let's go ahead and slip another caller question, though. 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. This is Justin from Washington. I'm calling to get your take on the Michaels Company, M-I-K. I bought a position in this stock around March or April timeframe when it fell to a very low point. It's now run up much higher than I anticipated it would, and I'm wondering what you think about the company. I feel like it's very promising, but I also feel like it may be overvalued at this point. Should I cut back now? Or should I hold where I'm at? Thanks.
Okay, this is a stock we own in some of our managed account, Michael's company, MIK. They are a $2.3 billion company, operates 1,374 Michael's store with approximately 18,000 average square feet, offering framing, arts, and crafts. Many of you know what we're talking about. They've always made money. I like the steadiness of this company. 2020, they made $2.11 a share. This year, they're supposed to make $2.17. Next year, $2.30. So sales and earnings grow, but they grow slow. It's not really a growth stock, even though they don't pay a dividend. It's a slow growth. But the value is compelling. They're going to make $2.30 next year, and it's a $16 stock. So your P.E. is what? 8? 7 point something? An average P.E. is 1, for the last 5 years, 1 to 18. So I think it's a compelling value. And if the economies are going to continue to grow, I think they'll do very well. So it's one of those boring kind of stocks that just makes more money every year and continues to do that year after year after year. So I just like that part of it. Very steady company. And it has already run up. I mean, it was a low of under $2 a share back in March last year. So that's a huge run. If you have too much, if it's gone up and it's now unbalanced your portfolio, then you cut back. But I wouldn't get rid of it. I would not. Okay, you know the KPP Premium Newsletter was distributed today, like I do every Friday. Each week, it seems we can... the first section is always the same. It's called the market condition section. And I said that each week, it seems like we can realistically describe the market as being highly volatile. Okay, this week was no different. But at least it was mostly up volatility. Good news on several fronts helped as the vaccines were rolled out across the nation and the world. Investors are appreciating the strong earnings season. They have realized that we have new money coming in from the government. So these are positive from Washington, D.C. These are positive signs for further expansion of the stock market. You know, it is overvalued, but, you know, maybe it deserves it because we have a lot of growth prospects for this year and next. I think that, you know, our economy is going to grow very fast for this year and probably into next. So I that's why I started off with. Of course, I gave you most of the important statistics that reported out this week. You know, jobs report this morning and ISM numbers and construction spending numbers, and that's always usually part of that markets. So give you a brief overview of some of the economic numbers that are important. Portfolio management section, I talked about the reliability of earnings projections by the experts. You know, if you've listened to my show any length of time, I am not keen on the pundits or the experts. They aren't driven necessarily based on, you know, providing you, the public, with facts. They're driven by a profit margin of their own, who they work for. You know, if you're an analyst and you work for Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs is issuing, is looking to get bond business from Ford and maybe loaning Ford lots of money for something. Do you think Goldman Sachs analysts are going to say too many negative things about Ford? Probably not. So how many customers does Goldman Sachs have? A ton of customers traded on the public exchanges. So how many bad news stuff are they going to talk about? They're not really going to do that. So you got to find independent analysts, and it's very difficult to know who those are. So I'm not very keen on that, and I mentioned that in the portfolio management section. I'm not saying you don't listen to them. You do. But you take everything they say with a grain of salt. Okay, a couple of stock ideas. How about a company development, manufacturing, and marketing kind of company? A rapid diagnostic testing solutions kind of company? And, I like them a lot. They have separate business operations, four of them actually. Generates the majority of its revenue from its rapid tests. SARS tests, COVID tests. Anyways. I also highlighted the world's largest online travel agency by sales. They provide booking services for hotel, vacation rooms, airline tickets, rental cars, restaurant reservations, cruises, experiences, and other vacation packages. Okay, so do you know who that company is? Well, I wrote about it in the newsletter. I name names. Consumer Watch. You know, COVID, there's a bunch of COVID scams out there. COVID scams. One of them is, you know, you need to be pretty vigilant about this stuff. The Social Security Administration has posted alerts about a scam claiming that benefits will be suspended or decreased due to the office closures of some of the Social Security offices because of COVID-19. But don't worry. You get an email or a text saying they're going to help you with this. Okay, don't fall for this. The IRS, the Social Security Administration, and in fact, all federal government agencies never call or text. They don't call. They don't text. They send you written notices that you respond to. So, well, there's always a lot of valuable information in the KPP Premium newsletter each week. It's pretty easy for you to subscribe. You just go directly to investtalk.com. Investtalk.com. That's with two T's. Two T's. You can sign up from there. So let's go ahead and go into another caller question from the InvestTalk Voice Bank. It never closes, as you know. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. I had a question about two dividend stocks. I'm looking at Coca-Cola, ticker symbol KO, or Pepsi, ticker symbol PEP. I was wondering which of these two dividend stocks you guys like better. Thank you.
Okay, these are the two giant drink companies in the world, right? Pepsi and Cola, and they own all kinds. Each one of them, between the two of them, they own most of the brands of soda out there, and a lot of water, and fruit drinks, and power drinks, and most of those things are owned by one or two of these companies. There's not too many independents. There are, but there are not too many. Coca-Cola, we'll talk about Coca-Cola in a minute. They're going to make $1.90 a share this year in 2020, and then 2021, $2.09, up about 10%. It's a $49 stock. So it's not cheap. That's a 25 PE. Okay, for a company that's not growing right now, it's actually shrinking. Before COVID, it was growing in the single-digit area. So which one, Pepsi, PEP, take a quick look at PEP and see if they're going to make $6.06 next year, and it's $1.40 a stock. Okay, so that's not cheap either. It's close to the same 25 PE. I'll say this about Pepsi. They're more steady on their sales growth than Coca-Cola is. So if I was to pick one, and they're both overvalued, but if I was to pick one, I'd probably pick Pepsi at this stage. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Pfizer vaccine is a big winner from them using groundbreaking technology, RNA, DNA technology. So they're making a ton of money off of that. And what this technology did or allowed them to do, they allowed them to really come up with a much better solution to treatment for vaccines. The faster and better technology than they used to have. So I think they're going to continue to be a big winner in that sphere. So just pay attention to what they're doing. Okay, 888-99-CHART is the number. Baby boomers' financial status is going to be a problem. You know, anybody who's older who's lost a job, and you're older, you're going to have a hard time finding a job. There is age discrimination out there. There just is. So, but their financial health is not very strong. Maybe we can get a little bit deeper into that before the end of the show. On the next InvestTalk, this energy sector story. Wall Street has turned positive on Exxon. Oil company. That's Monday. For now, I'm Steve Peasley. I'm ready to take your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
I have a question about the value of Delta since it's taken on all the debt, if the stock would still be considered cheap. What I'm trying to compare is if revenue returned to pre-pandemic and traffic turned to pre-pandemic levels, what a fair stock price would be or value would be given the additional debt they've taken on. If you could please look into that and any other information or insights you have to the other airlines, I would really appreciate. And thanks for everything you'll do. It's been a big help for me.
Okay, Delta Airlines, it's a $20 billion company, provides international and domestic passengers and cargo transportation service in the U.S. and abroad. It's going to lose $2.49 for 2021. Next year, it's going to make $3.76. Pre-COVID, it made $6-$7 a share, and it's a $41 stock. Now, will it get right back to pre-COVID levels? Probably not. I would probably estimate it between $4 and $5 a share. That means it's trading at about an 8, 9 PE, and that's probably close to the middle range of the airline stocks. So it's neither cheap nor expensive, and I would stay away from it personally. You know, the COVID stocks, you know, let me rephrase that. The recovery of certain sectors because of COVID is pretty much guaranteed. For instance, hotels are going to come back. Right? The airlines are going to come back and cruise ships are going to come back. But of those three, which is the safer bet? In my opinion, it would be the hotels. Right? And if you want to even get more specific, and I've talked about this, and we actually own some of these types of stocks in our managed accounts, it would be the gambling hotel stocks. Okay, and if you've been paying attention, you've seen they've done very well this week. Thank you very much. Very well. Because they're hotels. And yeah, they have land, they have buildings, they have assets that they can borrow more money on. The big ones, they can borrow money to survive and get through this. And they are going to get through it because we know the vaccine is working. And we got, 30 million people already been vaccinated so far? Oh, that's maybe only 10% of what we need, but, you know, of the population, less than 10%. But, you know, we're on our way. Anyways, I want to get back to baby boomers before the end of the show. The baby boomers have, since 1948 to 1970, they're the people that were born between 1948 and 1973. And they have endured three bear markets, two deep recessions in the last 20 years. So remember, the baby boomers, my generation, we're trying to save for our retirement. In the last 20 years, they've had three bear markets and two deep recessions. It's kind of tough. 900,000 baby boomers lost their jobs to COVID. Most of those will have a hard time finding quality jobs to get back to where they were. Okay, 900,000 jobs. So it's going to be a difficult row for them going forward. It's just going to be difficult for the baby boomers going forward. I thought I'd throw that out there, guys, girls. I'm a baby boomer. And so I got relatives, I got brothers, and I got my wife's brothers and sisters. She has nine of them. I have four brothers, even though two have passed away. So I only have two left now. But, you know, it's going to be difficult. And one of my brothers will be fine. The other one, he's going to have struggles. So it's just the way it is. My wife's brothers and sister-in-laws, many of them have not put enough money away. Most of them, matter of fact. And so they're going to have to continue working. The simple fact is baby boomers are not going to be able to retire like they think they will be. It's just not going to be. Okay, and one more thing before the close. You know, we have, you need to understand what your risk is, how much risk you're comfortable taking. And we have that Riskalyze on our website at investtalk.com, Riskalyze. It's a very simple, three or four questions, and it will score you from 0 to 100 how much risk you're comfortable with. I suggest you go take it. It's very easy, and a score of 80 is what risk the S&P 500 is, 80. So see where you fall. Then look at your portfolio. What does it fall? We'll help you with that. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family. We really do appreciate that. Remember, it's all free, free podcast, free radio show. We post a new program every weekday shortly after the end of our live stream broadcast, which concludes at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So you can get your free downloads at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, InvestTalk.com. And we would like you to rate us. Be sure to review and rate our show. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.